Thank you, brother. I was feeling nervous. You helped work those nerves out. Thank you. Oh, it's so great to be together on the Lord's Day and sing praises to our Lord and be here to spur one another on toward loving good deeds. And I'm ready for Jesus to come back today, except for some friends and relatives I'd like to see come to the Lord first. But to come, you know, if this was our last Lord's Day, so be it, Lord, right? But in his timing, if you are visiting with us, and as been mentioned, we already know we have some visitors. Welcome, and we hope you'll choose eventually to make this your church home and your church family here at the Lassen Street Church of Christ. And that's to all of our visitors. I see some other visitors out there. So it's great to be back in the building and welcome our visitors in here to our fellowship hall. And hopefully, prayerfully, you have time to spend time with us after service and fellowship. And give us the opportunity and the privilege of getting to know you better. And we hope it's a great privilege for you to get to know us a little bit better. We're not perfect people. Some of us have known each other here a long time. So we know that about each other, although you may not yet. But we are sincerely striving to follow Christ and to follow His Word. And with God's help and the help of one another, we're trying to be the people that God wants us to be during our short journey here together in this world. And it is a relatively short journey, isn't it? Even if we live to be over 100 years old, in the scope of all time and history, that's a short journey. That's a short time. We're going to continue this morning our series from Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 15 if you want to be turning over there. In your Bibles, Ephesians 5, and verses 15 through 17 we'll focus on. Now, the last few sermons, over a period of time here, we've been looking at walking in love as we look at the book of Ephesians, and specifically Ephesians 5, walking in love, walking as children of light. And now this morning we're going to look at and consider walking in wisdom. And when I saw this was coming up next, I got a little nervous because I'm, you know, to preach about wisdom, and then, of course, I'm supposed to live up to and be living what I preach. So, you know, I confess to you that that's a tall order. That's something that takes time in life to be walking in wisdom. So we'll work through this together. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you, Father, for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the time we've already shared together in prayer and in song and partaking of the Lord's Supper together. Father, we just thank you for the freedom we share and exercise on this morning to worship you. Please be with us this morning as we study and consider walking in wisdom as you would have us to do as Christians and as your followers. Father, help us to put off foolishness and our foolish ways and learn with your help and with the encouragement of one another to walk through this life in wisdom and being wise people. We thank you for always being attentive to our prayers, and we trust that you'll answer this prayer, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've done some foolish things in my life. And to help me out this morning, I'm going to share one of them. I don't have time to share them all. I wish we had time to go around, and I'd ask each one of you could probably share, come on, one foolish thing you've done. That would be fun. Maybe we should do an audible. Want to start, brother? Okay, I'll start. I thought I'd better say, you know, tell a humbling story before I, you know, act like I'm walking in wisdom all the time. So in high school, it's embarrassing even to recall this event, but I did not, believe it or not, I did not attract girls to me, women to me. I know it's hard to believe, but I was a skinny white kid and I was not very attractive. So I had to show off to get girls' attention. So, and several times, but this is one of them. So we used to have dances and stuff in the cafeteria, the high school cafeteria, back in those days. And, you know, you'd decorate and everything, and then a dance would be that evening. And so we're putting chairs around the cafeteria, and we had doorways kind of like this leading out into the hallways. And there were girls helping out, of course, so this is my chance. They're not paying attention to me otherwise, but I'll draw some attention. So I ran. I thought it would be a good idea to run, jump on the chair, and then go like Superman through the doorway. So I ran, and I was a good runner. I got up a full head of steam. Right foot made it up on the chair. I went to go through the doorway, and bam! My head hit so hard. The next thing I knew, I was just looking up at people. I don't know if I was actually knocked out, but I didn't remember anything between hitting that doorway and laying flat on my back with people saying, "Are you okay?" Only my pride is hurt and my forehead. But perhaps you can think of a foolish thing that you've done in your life. And fortunately, you know, that was some physical pain and suffering and a goose egg on my forehead. And it all healed. You know, even my pride healed. I can share this with you. But unfortunately, when we do some foolish things in life, they can have more serious consequences. It can even affect where we're going to spend our eternity if we continue to walk in foolishness. So the good news is for you and for me and really for anyone, for any human being, we may have done some foolish things in our lives, but that doesn't mean we're a fool for life, right? It doesn't have to go that way. We can learn to walk in wisdom. And that's what we're looking at this morning. Ephesians 5, verse 15. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So that's the New American Standard version of verse 15, is "be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." The NIV reads, "be very careful then how you live." And in this sermon series, it's been, you know, pointed out that walking through life actually is parallel to living our lives, of course. So when you go back to the original language, this is literally "give careful concentration to how you walk or how you live during your short time under the sun," right? During our short journey through this world. And it reminded me a few weeks ago at work above Armstrong Redwoods Historical Park. We're checking out this house and for some work to do. And the young guy who's going to move in there, Louis, it's Riggs Ranch, it's part of the state park. And he says, "Be careful where you walk around here. There's a lot of rattlesnakes. There's timber rattlesnakes." And so I was being careful for a while, but then we were continuing this inspection and everything, and I kind of got careless. He told all of us, this whole group of us, this. And then I kind of got careless and took a step between these two buildings to grab this screen, and I glanced down, and right under that plywood was one of those black timber rattlesnakes. And then I looked like a woman or a person who sees a mouse. I was just kind of dancing. I just got so scared. I was shocked, and I kind of danced around, and it was really embarrassing. But I didn't take Louis's advice to carefully watch where you step around here, because you might get bit. And that's basically what the writer is saying, to be careful, watch your step, or life may bite you, right? The College Press NIV commentary written by Kenneth L. Bowles reads, "The Christian walk is not the aimless, casual lifestyle of the pagans. It has purpose and direction, so believers must watch accurately how they walk, and this requires constant attention." And he goes on to say, because I'm not a Greek scholar, but there is a reference to the Greek here, "the present tense of the imperative verb means to watch and keep on watching in an accurate and careful way." And again, because if we don't, we've experienced too probably life biting us, so to speak, unexpectedly. So walk not as unwise, but as wise, Paul goes on to say. So those who walk in love and walk in the light, as we studied previously, are now also called, and we're called here this morning, to walk in wisdom as Christians. There's more to walking or living wisely than just having knowledge. Isn't that true? There are many, you know, many people with high degrees of education, and yet they're not able to walk wisely through this world and run into trouble in spite of their high level of education, right? Nothing wrong with having a high level of education, but it doesn't necessarily make you wise. We have to learn from God and His Word and Jesus' example how to walk wisely in this world. You might say it's to have skill in living, as the commentary puts it. He goes on to say it's not to have the it is to have the practical insight concerning the right thing to do in a given situation. Wisdom is the ability to see things as God sees them and then to act accordingly. Just in your life experience at work, or I don't know, when you think back to going to school, was there someone who just always, you know, they're not perfect, but they kind of know how to handle a situation, how to handle it appropriately, or say the right thing, or, you know, just handle it discreetly, or just kind of have the right touch in life. Have you seen that in people? I have at times, and I really admire that. I want to emulate that, you know, that follow that example myself. Proverbs 3 and verses 13 through 18, we find some of the rewards of wisdom. And it's a reminder to us, and it motivates us to seek out wisdom from God's Word, from Christ's example, and all the other ways. We're only touching the surface of wisdom this morning. But all the other ways that we can learn to walk in wisdom, because it does have its own reward in life and in the life to come. Proverbs 3 and verse 13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. And just to recap some of the rewards that are mentioned there, to be blessed in life, riches, referring to spiritual riches, long life, riches and honor, peace, the tree of life is mentioned, happiness. Who doesn't want all those things in their life, right? I certainly do, or at least some or all of those things. Well, we find God's definition of wisdom, well, in that proverb, as well as throughout the Old Testament and the New, actually. But in James chapter 3 and verses 13 through 18, we find a nice, concise, clear kind of summary of what God considers wisdom. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from heaven, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. And then in verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But in verse 17, the wisdom from above. That's what we want to focus on this morning. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed of those whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace. The New King James in verse 13 reads, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by their good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." So I read them kind of both, because when you kind of weave them together, the characteristics of wisdom include, at least in part, good behavior, deeds done in gentleness of wisdom, good conduct, and works that are done in meekness of wisdom. And you know, most of these works of wisdom, they're not done behind the pulpit, really, or even so much in Bible class. they're done and performed by everyday Christians who have learned to walk in wisdom. Isn't that true? And those are the great works that God is doing through the church and through every member of the body, apart from our collective worship service and our collective Bible class times. That's where God is really accomplishing his works for the most part in this world. Isn't that true? Wisdom from above or from God, and as we just read James 3 verses 17 and 18, again, just to review, is pure. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy and he exhorted Timothy to watch his life and his doctrine closely, and then you'll save both yourself and others. Well, that exhortation is there for us too. In order for our faith to rub off on others or to bring others to Christ, I have to watch my own life first, right? So he says, first of all, pure, peaceable, gentle, being just reasonable with people, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy, not wearing a mask. And I don't know how your Christian walk has been out in the real world, but I found, you know, for myself, especially for a time living on an island, you're kind of under a microscope. Thank you, sister. Help me out. And people see that we're not perfect, that we do make mistakes, that we have character flaws, we have weaknesses as Christians. And I found, but if we're reasonable about it, and we kind of admit it and acknowledge it, apologize when we need to. Eat crow. I've eaten a lot of crow in my life. I'm getting an appetite for it. People come to see that we're not hypocrites. We're not unflawed. We're not perfect. But we're not wearing a mask to hide who we are either, which is the literal definition of a hypocrite. The New King James reads, willing to yield and being without partiality. So the so-called wisdom, as James says, that's not from heaven, in verses 14 and 15, just to quickly review the contrast, is bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, being arrogant. And then he goes on to say it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Now, I don't know about you. I didn't think it rose to that level. I thought, oh, yeah, sure, this is a character flaw. But raising to the level of being referred to as demonic and unearthly, unspiritual, but yet that's what God says through his inspired writer, James. Finally, this morning, we're going to turn, well, the final verse, right? A couple more things to learn, but I wanted to turn to Jesus' teaching about wisdom in Matthew 7 in verses 24 and 25. And I thought that's a good place to leave the lesson, right, with Jesus' teaching from Jesus himself concerning wisdom. And, you know, it's a very simple teaching. It's the wise and foolish builder. And we sing that song during vacation Bible school. The wise man built his house upon the rock. I won't sing it all for you. Hopefully soon we'll be singing that again at VBS, right? But the point is, it's a very simple teaching that even young people can learn from preschool on up. And yet we find it very difficult to apply to our lives sometimes, right? So Jesus challenges us in verse 24 of Matthew 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, another translation, does them or obeys them, may be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them or do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And it was a great fall, Jesus says. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And one of the challenges here, I think, for us this morning is, first of all, are we still amazed at the teaching of Jesus? It could become all too familiar. So I've been there myself. I haven't been a Christian many years. Am I still amazed at the teaching of Jesus? Am I still amazed at this simple teaching about the wise and the foolish builder in the storms of life? Or is it, I read that back in 73. Go on to what's next. You know, and I'm kind of bored with that one, right? Been to a lot of vacation Bible schools, heard a lot of sermons and Bible classes. Let me flip past that. Well, no, we need to still be amazed at even the simple teaching of the wise and foolish builder. And really the good news here, like I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon, anyone, any human being can become wise. When we humble ourselves, become familiar with Jesus' teaching and his life, and decide to follow his example and his teaching. And then the great reward he's for us here in this life, as well as in the life to come, is that we can withstand the storms of life. Some people have some vicious, terrible storms they're living through, even as children, right? Some of us are blessed to be protected, and later in life we experience some of the storms of life. The death of a loved one, or illness in a family, disasters that take place, weather-type disasters I'm talking about, right, in this world, wars. We could go on and on about the storms of life that just beat upon us as people, right, and plummet us. And yet, when we build on the rock, as Jesus said, he makes good on his promise, doesn't he? The rains are going to come. The floods will come. They're going to slam against the house. They're going to slam against us, and yet we will not fall, because our lives are founded on the rock. And you notice we can't do it alone. We need Jesus' teaching. We need his help, his strength. We need the help and the encouragement of one another. But it can be done. We can build on the rock and withstand the storms of life. That's a great blessing, and that's encouraging today. The writer, Jesus, goes on to teach that unfortunately, the foolish man, the foolish person, builds his house on the sand. The one who hears the words, they still heard the words just like the other person, but decided not, either passively or proactively, not to put those words and those teachings into practice. And unfortunately, those same storms come, they plummet against upon that person, and they're not able to stand. It's sad. It's not something we rejoice over. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall, Jesus says. The greatest storm of life, I would argue, is death itself. And Jesus himself, when we decide to build upon the rock, we make it through that final great storm of life, having built on the rock, and then we go home to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who we decided to build our lives upon, right? Isn't that great and good news for us as Christians? And it motivates us to go share that good news with others, right? We want them to share the same wisdom, learn to walk in wisdom with us, and then come spend eternity with us in heaven, right? Amen? I'm going to leave it with the teachings of Jesus this morning. And if you have yet to decide to build your life, your house on the rock, if you have yet to decide to choose to walk in wisdom and put foolishness behind, today is the day to make that decision. Make that decision this morning, because yesterday is gone. We're not promised tomorrow. That's why God left it up in the air, didn't reveal when Jesus is coming back. I believe in part to keep us on our toes, right? And call us to be decisive and ready for when he does return. Make the decision today to build your life on the rock. Begin to walk in wisdom. Put that foolishness behind. Repent of your sin, as every human being has sin. Repent, turn away from sin, name Jesus as your Lord, be baptized into Christ, and then begin to walk in newness of life, walking in wisdom. If you have a need to respond, we invite you to come as we're going to sing this invitation song.